You are locked into Locked On Badgers, and we have some breaking news to get to in just a sec on a Monday night. My name is Asher Lowe. I am the site editor at Badgers Wire, a play-by-play broadcaster for many Badger sports. And most importantly, of course, right, your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective, filled with stats, special guests, all things Badger sports. Listen and follow for free wherever you get your podcasts. You will find Locked On Badgers there Monday through Friday. All Badger basketball, all Badger football. And right now we are going to get into Badger basketball a lot this week with a big game on Thursday against Indiana, the canceled game on Sunday. I'm going to save Wisconsin basketball stuff. I have a lot to get into at the end of the show. We're going to talk a little advanced stats, who's impressed me the most so far, and just an overview of where things stand right now for Wisconsin basketball. But there is some breaking news. There is some monumental breaking news. Normally I wouldn't have Ben Kenny, my guy at Badgers Wire, back for a second straight episode. But this is a Ben Kenny piece of breaking news. Jack Cohn, Wisconsin Badgers quarterback Jack Cohn, entered the transfer portal a couple weeks ago. He is going to Notre Dame. Jack Cohn is headed to Notre Dame. Ben, let's talk about it.
So I know this is terrible podcasting because no one can see the video, but right now I'm holding up a piece of paper that says 264. Why is that number significant? In 264 days, Wisconsin takes the field at Soldier Field in Chicago against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish led by Jack Cohn. I can't tell if I'm excited for the game, if I'm scared for the game. But this, okay, first of all, it needs to be said that this news makes way too much sense. It makes sense for Cohn. It makes sense for everybody involved. He was hurt this year. Mertz is a redshirt freshman, has at least 3 years left with the program. Cohn was going to find another destination. He was going to play somewhere else next season. But the fact that he's playing against Wisconsin, I don't know how to feel internally about it. I don't know if I'm excited. I don't know if I'm scared. I don't know if I'm sad. But 264, it's in my Twitter bio, 264 days until the Jack Cohn revenge game.
So I think I want to start with this. I'm not surprised at all. And I think that anybody that's followed this Wisconsin football team for the last couple of years isn't surprised that Jack Cohn transferred this year. And actually, I think he was going to transfer no matter what happened this year, to be perfectly honest. I think if he had played the whole year, odds are he would have transferred as well. Obviously, if he balls out this year, there's a higher chance he stays than him not playing all year because of that broken foot at the beginning of the season, before the season even started, actually. But I think this was always coming. I think he was always going to transfer out because he knew Graham Mertz was behind him. And he knew he'd have a year somewhere else. Obviously, this was supposed to be his last year, and it all would have worked out fine. Jack Cohn would have started his final senior year, rode off into the sunset, gone to the NFL draft, and Graham Mertz takes over, takes the reins, boom, boom, bang, it's all perfect. COVID-19, hello, you remember that thing, that pandemic that we're in? Yeah, so what that did is it not only gave Jack Cohn an extra year of eligibility, but it also, after Jack Cohn's injury, made Wisconsin go to Mertz, and with Jack Cohn having that extra year of eligibility, and he would have got that extra year anyway, I believe, medically. But that extra year of eligibility, he now has a free year to go wherever he wants. And like you said, the Notre Dame situation makes sense. Also, fun fact about Jack Cohn and Notre Dame, he was actually recruited and committed to Notre Dame as a lacrosse player originally. Before he was a football recruit and a four-star football guy, he was a lacrosse recruit, a big-time lacrosse recruit, and he was committed to Notre Dame. So this is a huge, huge, huge addition for the Fighting Irish in a quarterback room, by the way, that loses Ian Book and is going to get a lot more narrow, not a lot of guys with experience in that room. Jack Cohn's going to come in and he's going to start, and Wisconsin's going to see him, as you said, Ben, in 264 days.
Yeah, if we're talking about broadcaster or NFL college football broadcast bingo cards, I think going into that game, I'm going to make one. I think this is going to be the most full bingo card we've ever seen. We obviously have the Jake Ferguson, Barry Alvarez mention, but the Jack Cohn lacrosse, the Jack Cohn went to Wisconsin. I'm starting a tally on Twitter. Every single time they mention that he played for the Badgers, show his highlights, mention anything along those lines, a tally's getting added. But yeah, it makes sense for him. It makes a lot of sense for Notre Dame. And this is a school, now this may be going off on a limb, but this is a school that I would argue has been a quarterback away from reaching that next level. I'm not saying Cohn is that guy, but I think everybody would agree that they've made it to the playoff. They've achieved pretty much everything you can aside from winning a college football playoff game. They have the roster, but the quarterback at many times has held them back. Now, obviously, them getting a five-star would be the first step towards putting them over the edge, but I'm really interested to see if Cone coming in can be that guy for them. Because we saw Book, while Book's a good quarterback, he was limited at times in key games where they needed him.
Yeah, so Brendan Clark is the junior in the room. Besides that, it's a lot of young guys, two freshmen and a sophomore in Drew Pine, and Jack Cone should come in, and it's going to be a battle. Obviously, it's not Cone's job yet, but should come in and win it, barring an injury, something weird happening. We're expecting Jack Cone to win the battle, and it is unbelievable drama. It is just a storybook ending that Jack Cone's going to see Wisconsin next year. I don't think it factored into the decision. I don't think he was trying to get back at the Badgers. It's all love from all sides with Jack Cone leaving. It was all love from him, all love from his teammates, all love from the coaches. He was nothing but a class act all year in Madison. And the coaches kept talking about him on the sidelines, Ben, about how much of an impact he was making off the field, how he was not a coach. They didn't list him as like, oh, he's another coach on the sidelines. Not that. It was more just he's a leader on the sidelines. He's a guy that – teammates look up to on the sidelines, even if he's not playing. He's a guy that Graham Mertz can go to and he can ask him a question on the sidelines during a game, during practice, all that stuff. Jack Cone was around the team, a big part of the team, even after going down.
Yeah, one of my favorite plays of the season, actually, of the 2020 season. It was a long reception by Jack Dunn on the sideline, and you see Cone sprint down to where he was getting pushed out and hyping up Dunn as he got tackled. I came to Locked On Badgers late last week with a theory, and the theory about the whole Duke's Mayo Bowl trophy conspiracy. Now, him going to Notre Dame, I don't think Wisconsin playing Notre Dame factored into that decision. But if we're talking about press clippings, if he factored anything in, I wrote about this back in April, and this is one of the things that has astounded me most from the year 2020. Now, obviously, a lot has gone on that has been surprising in bad ways most of the time.
A Jack Cone related take is one of the things that surprised you most in the year 2020.
Oh, it's not a take. It's okay, not a take. It's the result. It's the result. Nuts. It's the result of an athletic survey. The Athletic ran a survey heading into the year.
Yeah.
And one of the questions asked the fans who were answering the questions, who is your favorite player on the 2020 roster? Number one, Graham Mertz with 97 votes. Now, this is before he had started a game. He was a highly rated quarterback, whatever. Number two, Jake Ferguson, 48 votes. One of the best players on the team, tight end, Barry Alvarez's grandson, cool. Number three, Jack Sanborn, 45 votes. He'll go to the NFL, great middle linebacker. And finally, number four, Jack Cone with 42 votes. The starting quarterback that led them to one of their best seasons in the last 5, 6, 7 years, who had them on the doorstep of winning a Big Ten championship, a Rose Bowl, who played pretty much as well as you could have hoped for him to play in that system and in that season. He was the fourth most favorite player for fans on the 2020 roster. So maybe he saw that. Maybe he saw the survey. Maybe he saw the survey and said, you know what? I'm finding a school that's going to play Wisconsin in the fall. Because, Asher, I can't wait.
I'll be honest, I highly doubt it.
No, so do I. No, so do I. But when these things happen, some theories have to arise, and that's one for me. I cannot wait.
Sorry, yeah, he completed 69% of his passes, over 2,700 passing yards, 18 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That was all in the year 2019 into 2020 where they played that Rose Bowl game on January 1st. But that was his 2019 season. And he was a preseason Maxwell Award, Manning Award, watch list guy. He was a guy expected to be near the top of the country at that position. And then obviously the foot injury forced him out this year. I think he is a guy that if he has the year we think he can have, and I think a lot of Notre Dame fans and Wisconsin fans think he can have over in South Bend, is going to be someone we're talking about in day 5 of the NFL draft, in day 4, 5 of the NFL draft. Those late rounds, or day 3, sorry, I think round 4 to 5. To 6 yep. is what I was thinking. The late rounds of the NFL draft, Jack Cone could slide in there. He's going to be a guy that can take his game to the next level this year in South Bend. A really good situation for him all around, a place that he's familiar with, a place that recruited him out of high school, albeit mostly for a different sport. And he's ready. He's ready. And we see him at Soldier Field. I hope fans can go to that game in some respect. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the Badgers and Notre Dame. I was already excited before looking at the 2021 schedule, but now you can circle September 25th.
Hey, first there was Bo Jackson, notable two-sport athlete. Then there was Kyler Murray, Jameis Winston, guys who were drafted in both sports, could have played both sports. Now there's Jack Cohn.
I'm not surprised that you just found a way to put Jack Cohn's name alongside Kyler Murray and Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, Kyler Murray, and Jack Cohn, all three of those guys belong in the same sentence. Jack Cohn is at Notre Dame. He's ready. Wisconsin plays Notre Dame next year. We're fired up. We can't wait for the redemption story. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be glorious. The content is going to flow. It's going to be absolutely awesome on September 25th. We'll be right back. But first, I want to give you a quick message from BetOnline.ag, the sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network when it comes to all things sports gambling. If you're ready for football, if you're ready for playoff football this weekend in the NFL, if you're ready for the NBA that's going on every single night, if you want to get in on the action in college basketball this week, Wisconsin, Indiana on Thursday, there's one place to do that, and it is BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. That is BetOnline.ag, the one place that we trust that we go to here at Locked On. BetOnline.ag, promo code Locked On. And if you want some locks, you should go to one place after BetOnline.ag. That is the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Bets with your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, who's been in the gambling game for like 50 years. He's been in the game probably twice my lifetimes in sports gambling. He creates the lines, so he's the guy to talk to about all things handicapping, and they give you a lock of the day on that Locked On Bets podcast. Hit up Locked On Bets, then hit up BetOnline.ag and make some money. Back with Ben Kenny. One more quick segment with you, Ben, and then we'll get to basketball with your boy Ash, or just me for basketball. A lot of stuff to get to with Wisconsin hoops, but I want to talk a little bit about the guys coming back for Wisconsin, because we've heard a lot of news and I haven't got into it much on the podcast, and a lot more news came in today with guys that are coming back, guys that aren't coming back. We know this now. We know Jake Ferguson will be back in Madison. We know Kendrick Pryor, that was announced today, will be back in Madison. I'm going to forget some people here, but we know Eric Burrell will be going to the NFL. Wisconsin safety, had a master's degree in 4.5 years. Very impressive stuff, both on and off the field at Wisconsin. And he is headed to take his talents to the National Football League. Some other notable names, Colin Wilder will be back next season. We're still waiting on Danny Davis, the other senior wide receiver, alongside Kendrick Pryor. There were rumors that Pryor and Davis would both be coming back near the end of this year. Like I said, Pryor announced officially today he's coming back. No word from Danny Davis yet, but he's definitely, from all the reports we've heard, leaning towards coming back. What sticks out to you?
Well, so the big names are obviously, I think you mentioned him as well, Jack Sanborn, inside linebacker, and Jake Ferguson, the tight end. Those are, I would argue, the team's two best players, two guys that will be playing in the NFL. Those are obviously the big names that stick out. But what is important for me with the guys coming back is on the offensive side of the football, because we know 2021 class is going to be an infusion of defensive talent. And we know Jim Leonard is going to have that defense ready to play. But on the offensive side, we really saw what happened when the weapons, the receiving core, was decimated with injuries. We saw what happened when the offense faced a lot of turnover and couldn't gain a rhythm. So you're getting Pryor back. If you're able to get Davis back, that's huge. Mason Stocky, fullback, is also going to the NFL. But the more names you can get back on that offensive side of the football, Ferguson being the biggest one, the more help you can get Mertz as he goes into his next year, looks to build upon this year and take that step forward. It's really on offense that this experience is going to be key as he looks to get more comfortable, looks to improve as a passer, and lead the team further than they got this year.
You know, one position I'm really interested in right now, and I mentioned it a little bit in that open, but Kendrick Pryor and Danny Davis, if both come back, and Pryor's back, Davis isn't yet, but we're not sure. And like I said, he's leaning towards coming back. The wide receiver room all of a sudden has the opposite problem that it had last year. All of a sudden, you have so many guys, freshmen coming in Skylar Bell and Marcus Allen, sophomores in Devin Chandler and Jamari Dike, other youngsters that now aren't so young anymore, Abbott, Mustafa, some names that could see the field a little bit. We're gonna find out, and especially if Pryor and Davis come back, that all of a sudden a super – weirdly crowded room, and I don't know who's going to step forward.
And Jack Dunn, and Jack Dunn is reportedly back. He said in his little graduation bit that he was going to play another year. Devin Chandler, I think you mentioned him. Yeah, it's a great problem to have. I mean, the X factor on the offense next year is obviously going to be the running back room, but it's Ferguson. Having Pryor on the outside is going to be huge. Mertz is going to need a wide receiver one. That position is going to need to improve after this year. But if Jake Ferguson didn't return to the offense, I would have seen them have a hard time move the ball, especially early, given what he's able to do blocking, receiving, just the safety valve for Mertz, and obviously the red zone ability.
Ben, let's close our eyes. Let's play a little game of imagination. We're going to imagine a scene. I'm going to paint the picture for you right now. Badger fans at home, close your eyes. Here we go. Imagine this. Imagine this against Penn State week one. Graham Mertz is your quarterback. Kendrick Pryor and Danny Davis are your lead wide receivers. You get some time mixed in with Jack Dunn, with Devin Chandler, and with Chimere Dike. Some young guys mixed in with that senior and Jack Dunn. Your running back, Jalen Berger, 25 carries against Penn State leading the way. But, oh, not just Jalen Berger. Marquis Stepp from USC is taking those goal line reps.
Go.
He has a couple touchdowns in the red zone in week one. And then you got an offensive line that we know will be solid. Jake Ferguson as your tight end. Man, I don't think we're going to see many seven-point games unless there's more COVID.
I mean, shout out the boys on the line. Logan Brown is going to come in, I think, and play left tackle with Cole Van Lannen going to the NFL. Logan Brown showed in his game against Wake Forest when he came in, that dude can absolutely maul people on the goal line. He's going to be a bookend tackle. Nolan Rucci, 5-star.
I'd be shocked if Nolan Rucci was really getting significant time next year, but I'm down.
The line is going to be loaded. The offense is going to be a lot better. I mean, the biggest thing is going to be Mertz and whether he takes a step forward and whether the coaching staff decides to actually start feeding Jalen Berger.
I think they're going to feed Jalen Berger, but I'm excited about that offense. Ben, thank you for hopping in. Thank you for talking a little Jack Cohn to Notre Dame with me. There's no other person I could have had on to talk about Jack Cohn. 264 days. He's holding up the sign, people at home right now. I'm watching him hold up that sign. 264 days until Wisconsin and Notre Dame.
If parting words, if you need a couple videos to send the Jack Cohn era in the past to send you away, on my Twitter at BenzyKenny, KENNEY, there are a bevy of highlights, Jack Cohn highlights, his important moments, because we can't just let him go to Notre Dame without acknowledging what he did in 2019 and what he did for the Wisconsin football program.
The best Wisconsin quarterback since?
Russell Wilson.
I'll let you finish the sentence. That wasn't me just asking you. I was finishing the sentence. I knew what you were going to say. Ben, thank you for hopping on. Let's talk soon.
Yep.
We'll get to Wisconsin basketball in just a sec, but I want you to know that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, my favorite protein bar in the game. Why is it my favorite protein bar in the game? It's simple. The combination of nutrition and taste. It tastes like a candy bar. It tastes like I am absolutely eating Halloween candy, but it has that nutrition facts that you love to see. 170 calories in a bar, right? 130 to 170 calories in a bar. Just three to four and sometimes grams of sugar per bar. And then 17 to 18 grams of protein packed in to delicious flavors. I love the caramel brownie. I love the mint chip. I love the cherry barcia. There's so many flavors to choose from at Built Bar. I'd recommend getting a variety pack because you don't want to just try one. Every flavor I've tried is awesome. And when you go to BuiltBar.com to order those protein bars, the best tasting protein bars in the game, you use the code LOCKEDON, you get 20% off your next order, LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces, LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Let's talk Wisconsin basketball. And we are in Wisconsin basketball season. If you know me, first of all, if you know me personally, if you've talked to me on Twitter, whatever it is, follow on Twitter at ALOW_33, by the way, at Locked On Badgers. But if you know me, you know I'm a basketball nut, an absolute basketball addict. So I'll be doing a lot of these on my own with the breakdowns for basketball. I love college basketball. It is my thing. I watch it every night. I am dedicated to the Big Ten Conference and college basketball, and I can't wait to talk about it more with you guys coming up with football season all done. So it was a weird week for Wisconsin, a weird week. An up-and-down week and then a cancellation. Very COVID, right? You start out on a Monday last week with that loss to Maryland. We're going to get into why. But Wisconsin loses to Maryland in an upset loss at home. They come out against Minnesota, look really, really good from the jump, win it by 12. Really, that game was more of a 20-point blowout than a 12-point kind of close-ish win where Wisconsin pulled away. It was over for most of that second half. That was on Thursday. And then Sunday, Wisconsin's game gets canceled at the last minute. And although I don't have this confirmed, the game was against Penn State. I don't have this confirmed. But I can tell you that Wisconsin practiced today and is planning on playing Indiana on Thursday, which means that's confirmed. That's from the university, which means, and here's the part where I don't have 100% confirmation, but use the logic and think about it. That was a Penn State issue. That was a Penn State COVID-related issue, not a Wisconsin issue, and that's big for the Badgers, meaning that they don't have to go into some shutdown. They didn't have a positive test. That was Penn State's issue, and Wisconsin and Penn State mutually agreed to postpone that game because of Penn State's medical issue. So Indiana, Wisconsin on Thursday, we're going to get into that later in the week on the show, but I'm going to take you through last week a little bit. That Maryland game, right, coming off the heels of a huge win at Michigan State, a game where Wisconsin's offense dropped 85 points, looked really good in transition, moved the basketball like nobody's business. That Maryland game, you could see something from the jump, and that was that Maryland's bench was up and active and cheering and hooting and hollering, looking like my sixth grade JV team where you do like defense chants on the sideline. But that stuff matters now because there's no fans. So you can hear it all, right? You can hear Brad Davison yelling. You can hear Maryland's bench going insane. There's a lot of crazy things you can hear now in a broadcast because there's no fans. And that energy, that self-created energy from the jump, even when Maryland's shots weren't falling in the first half, I feel like kept them in this basketball game. Eric Ayala was great. Wiggins was great in the second half, but Maryland really used that energy in the first half and then just started making shots in the second half, right? And Wisconsin's offense, the biggest issue for the Badgers was that they didn't establish the post. They didn't establish Nate Reavers or Micah Potter throughout this basketball game, even though Demetri Trice postgame said it was their goal to establish those guys. Trice had 25. He was awesome. He's turning into a star before our eyes, but Nate Reavers and Micah Potter weren't established early. And that took Wisconsin out of their offensive rhythm. And then they let Maryland hang around. Maryland started making everything. And that was that. That was a loss in the Big Ten. It's an amazing conference. You're going to have nights like that. The Thursday response was big. A big win over Minnesota. And off the bat, what changed? The first 8 points scored by Wisconsin in that Minnesota game, you guessed it. Either Nate Reavers or Micah Potter. Potter had the first five. And the Badgers were just force-feeding the post. Force-feeding the post, sending everyone on the perimeter and force-feeding, isolating the post. It was beautiful offense. It was beautiful spacing, and it allowed Wisconsin to get out to an early lead, a lead that they never gave up against Minnesota through 40 minutes. They never trailed in the basketball game, and it was because of how they established the post at the beginning, but it was also because of other things. They played some tremendous perimeter defense. Johnny Davis, Demetri Trice, just giving the perimeter players like Marcus Carr, Gabe Kalscher, fits in that first half. Marcus Carr is a dynamic guard, and Wisconsin made him look really bad in that first half. Trice especially, give him credit on and off ball. Carr was just held to 2 for 6 from the field. Minnesota couldn't buy a basket in the first half, like literally couldn't buy one. And some of it was missing, and some of it was credit to Wisconsin, specifically perimeter defense, but also interior defense without fouling, because Minnesota had some looks inside, and Reavers and Potter did a really good job of staying strong without committing a foul. And that's something you see in college basketball so often. A big will just do anything to get a blocked shot, and they'll make an unintelligent play on the ball, or they'll bring their arm down when they're trying to stay vertical. All this stuff you see in college basketball all the time. Wisconsin did none of it. That's a staple of Wisconsin basketball. You know that. Don't foul. Don't turn it over. They did both of those things well against Minnesota. So what is this team? What have I noticed through a few weeks? What is there to take away? And I have some advanced stats to give you too about some interesting advanced stats. So first of all, advanced stats in basketball, I just want to say this from the outset. I'm not going to just force feed you numbers. And statistics, really complicated statistics that, first of all, a lot of people don't even understand. I'm not trying to hate. Like, you don't have time to learn what PER means in basketball, right? Or what team offensive efficiency, how that's calculated. And that's okay. Like, I get that. I don't even know what some of the stuff means, what the newer stats, some of the newer stats mean, or at least how they're calculated. And that's an important thing when you're trying to understand what they mean. But advanced stats do help, especially on offense for me. I have an issue with them, and I always use my eye test first. I use my eye test first, and then I go to advanced stats, and both matter in the way I look at the game and the way I analyze the game. It's a give and take between the two. I think if you're all one or all the other, you're just going to miss things. You're absolutely going to miss things because I like looking at the eye test and then saying, well, does this confirm my eye test when I look at the advanced stats? And if it does, and a lot of the time it does, especially on offense, then I say, okay, awesome. Like it confirms everything I thought. We agree. If it doesn't, I relook into it with my eyes, right? Like, what am I missing? Am I missing anything? Do I even agree that that's the case? So I think it's important to have a balance between the two as we get into Wisconsin basketball and talking hoops. You notice I've mentioned offense as a place where I look to advance stats. I think that looking to advance stats, to most stats that aren't your eyes, when you're talking about defense, can be a huge waste of time. Blocks, steals, these things don't indicate great defense. They don't. The box score stats don't indicate great defense. What about the advanced stats? To me, those don't even indicate great defense in some cases because you cannot judge great defense. You can't judge it on a stat sheet. The only way you can truly judge it is with your eyes, being an intelligent basketball watcher, watching it, knowing what someone has to do. Because some of the greatest defensive possessions, to me, are things that would never show up anywhere near a stat sheet. They don't end in blocks. They don't end in steals. Those are the basic stats. But it's really hard to calculate them and to really know what they are, to put them into a metric like defensive efficiency when you're on the floor, stuff like that. It's hard to put that into a metric that really tells me how good you are individually at defense. So with all that said, Johnny Davis, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I am absolutely the biggest Johnny Davis fan on the face of planet Earth. Wisconsin freshman out of lacrosse, he is silky smooth. And I told you this before the season. He is smooth as all heck. He looks like a next-level basketball player. And when I say that, his movements just look different when you're watching him, and you can see it. Him off-ball, he is incredible off-ball to watch. The way he moves, how smart he is with his movements, nothing wasted. His cuts are extremely sharp within the swing offense. He is awesome to watch off-ball. On-ball, he's just as good. On defense, he gives it his all. He makes some freshman mistakes. He's a great offensive rebounder. He does so many things well, and he's so efficient. And I was not surprised to see all that stuff I watched with my eyes backed up when I looked at advanced stats. So right now, this is courtesy of my guy, evanmaya.com, who's an advanced stats guy. Check out his website, evanmaya.com. He has great stuff in college basketball. All the numbers, advanced numbers you want to know about any college basketball team, they're there. evanmiya.com. It's awesome. A great resource. Johnny Davis, when he's on the floor, Wisconsin has their highest team offensive efficiency. So they're the most efficient offensively when Johnny Davis is on the floor. He's second on the team in plus minus after Micah Potter. And Micah Potter really is probably first because, well, he plays one more minutes and Wisconsin wins games. And if you're going to be on the floor a lot of the time, plus minus isn't always a great stat. But it's interesting when a guy comes off the bench and has that kind of plus minus and is second in plus minus on the team at plus 105 on the year right now to date. And he is the most efficient offensive player on the team. The team plays best when he's on the team, when he's on the floor offensively, and he is just an efficiency machine. He has been all year long. And the great thing about Johnny Davis is that he can do so many things well with the basketball in his hands. Right? He has that mid-range game. The one thing he might not have yet is just stepping a couple feet beyond the three-point line, that real range. He doesn't have that in his game yet, but he's a great middle game shooter, a great mid-range shooter, can rise up over the top, has a bag, has handles, right? He can get to the rim with ease and finish over the top of people or creatively under you. He is excellent in transition, really smart in transition, especially for his age where a lot of guys will try to do too much. He always makes a simple read, and it almost always works. He makes easy difficult finishes, I should say, look easy in transition. Can you tell I like the guy? Another guy I want to talk about this year that has really stepped forward over the last two games, especially against Minnesota, I was blown away. And against Michigan State, I was blown away by him. Aleem Ford has taken his game to the next level offensively. And thank God he has, because Wisconsin basketball needs him so badly if they want to make a run in March. He had a move against Minnesota where he drove and then set himself up for a post, hit this fadeaway turnaround that was just so gorgeous that I don't think you would have been able to hit last year. He looked confident shooting threes. He started the game against Michigan State really, really good on his birthday, scored the first, I think it was 8 Wisconsin points in that Michigan State game. He's been fantastic offensively, looks like the second half of Aleem Ford from last year, not like the first half, but even a better version of it, better off the dribble, better attacking the rim, which is, oh, please, Aleem, you're 6'8", a great athlete, and you don't attack the rim, but now all of a sudden he's figuring it out. I should probably go inside. And he's good in the post. He's really good in the post. I love Aleem Ford post-ups. It's one of my favorite Wisconsin offense to watch. And he's been great in the post this year, whether it's that little fadeaway, whether it's backing into a jump hook, whether it's a little up and under, whether it's a creative finish at the rim. He has that game, and he's better there than he is outside a lot of the time. Even though he's shooting the ball well, I think he's better there. So it's good to see him go inside a little bit more and take that initiative and be a better offensive player. Demetri Trice has turned into a star. Right, we've watched it, and I can go up and down this roster, right? I can give Nate Reavers his credit, his clutchness. Brad Davison, the defense he plays night in, night out, the effort he gives. Just going to note a few things, right, because I could give shouts out to every – Trevor Anderson, the spark plug off the bench, a guy that has had some really good minutes this year for Greg Garden, really come in and change the offense right when he comes in. You can see the difference with a true point guard like Anderson on the floor. So I can give the credit to everybody, but Trice has really taken his offensive game to another level. We saw it at the end of last year. We saw the glimpses at the end of last year at Michigan, that game last year. And the differences for him were a few things. First of all, he's making decisions faster at the end of last year, and he is this year as well. His floater got better. I think his finishing around the rim just got better in general. He was better in high pick and roll late in the shot clock, making better decisions. He is a better passer than I think he's been in his entire career now. And all those things combined, he's turned into an overall better offensive player. He could always shoot it, but that's opened up the shots for him because he can do so many of the things well now. You have to respect a lot more about him, and therefore that's going to open up everything for him on the perimeter, right? That's how it works. You've got to pick your poison with great offensive players, and he's turning into that level of pick your poison, right? Do you want to stop him going to the rim? Do you want to stop his passing ability? Do you want to take away his threes and go over screens and fight over hard? Hard hedged screens. You got to pick your poison with Demetri Trice. He's just getting to be that good. I think this team could play a little faster. And I know it's not the Wisconsin way, but when they've played faster, especially against Michigan State, they've looked really, really good doing it. It's about personnel. Trice is good in the open floor. Davis is great in the open floor, especially with these one big lineups. When Greg Gard puts in either Reavers or Potter, he starts both, but a lot of the time in that Minnesota game entirely, they almost never played together besides the opening couple of minutes of each half. And that's just all about personnel, all about matchups, and I totally agree with it against Minnesota. And I think Greg Gard absolutely will know when it's time to play that two big lineup a lot, when it's not. Point being, with those one big lineups, that's a great chance to run. And Wisconsin forces a lot of long misses off of long shots at the end of a shot clock. It's a great time to run. Get out and run, get some easy offense, some early offense, and get yourself going. In transition. I love watching Johnny Davis in transition, by the way, so I'm selfish there as well. I want to see that. Wisconsin, Indiana on Thursday, the number 8 Wisconsin Badgers, 10-2 so far this year. A lot of really good things, guys. A lot of really good things. And with that Maryland loss, you're talking about a team that didn't run, 0 transition points, right? So if you're wondering about what's the formula when they struggle, 0 points in transition, 21 paint points in that game versus Maryland's 40, so not establishing the paint. And just being out-energied at home, which is something you can't have. But that Maryland bench absolutely brought more energy to the Kohl Center that night than Wisconsin's bench. And that's not going to happen too often, I don't think, with these guys, with these seniors. Wisconsin basketball is here. They actually look better than I thought they would at this point in the year, and I can't wait to see where they go from here. Wisconsin, Indiana on Thursday. We'll get into it all on Locked On Badgers. See you later this week. As always, on Wisconsin, you know where to find us at Locked On Badgers on Twitter at AOW_33. Thank you for listening. Drop any comments, suggestions, drop a review on Apple Podcasts. That would all be a huge help. On Wisconsin.